In the second chapter of the book of Judges, we have what might be called a brief review of the whole book of the Judges. The period of Judges might be summed up in these words: the children of evil of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Then the Lord sent upon them chastisement and suffering, and they cried unto the Lord. And when they cried unto the Lord, He sent them prophets. And when the prophets came to the children of Israel with His word, then they repented of their sins, confessed them, forsook them, and turned again unto the Lord. And when they turned unto the Lord blessed them. When the Lord blessed them, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the Lord chastened them just around and around and around. And since these things happened unto them as types for us, you and I tonight are somewhere in that circle. Maybe we're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Maybe His hand of correction or discipline rests upon us. Maybe we are crying out to Him for help. Maybe we've done that. He's heard, and He's sent a man of God with His word. Maybe we're hearing His word and we're turning from our sins back to the Lord. Maybe we've done that, and His blessings are resting upon us. Maybe we've enjoyed them so much that now we're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. We're somewhere in that circle. The second chapter brings out a number of points to which I want to call your attention. Let's take the first verse. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. First thing that attracted my attention was the word Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Which means that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. Then we remember that Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Christ, the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. So then we know that the Hebrew states, and the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, because it's just one angel of Jehovah, and that is Jehovah Himself. When you have this expression, the angel of Jehovah, and it's talking about Jehovah, so this is the Christ, came up from Gilgal to Bochim. Gilgal is where all of the movements that were pleasing to the Lord began. It was from Gilgal they went up to Jericho and had the great victory. But they went from Jericho to Ai and had an ignominious defeat. Now, Gilgal was the place of the putting away of the flesh, the putting away of the sins of the flesh, the putting away of that which was contrary to God. Gilgal was where they humbled themselves before the Lord. And they turned to the Lord. and coming fresh from the presence of the Lord. Now, the word bokim means weepers. W-E-E-P-E-R-S. Our bokim was a place of weeping. When the children of Israel drifted apart from the Lord and came to realize their need of Him and their helplessness apart from Him, and they turned to the Lord, there was weeping. The children of Israel had some victories which did not emanate from Gilgal, but they were partial victories, and they were victories that were short, some of them short-lived. The victories that came from Gilgal, or where the people came from Gilgal, were blessed events in the sight of the Lord. Now, I've heard of people being gospel hardened. I've had some people try to tell me that you can preach the gospel to some people so long and then they just get hard, and they call it gospel hardened. I know lots of times we as Christians can go sometimes months, maybe years, without shedding a tear because of our lack of fellowship with the Lord, or a breach in that fellowship. But when they went back to Gilgal, and when they went back to the place of turning from the flesh, went back to the Lord, how beautiful it is for us to constantly return to the cross of our Lord. Consider once again His death for our sins. Sometimes we forget that we're sinners. Sometimes we forget that we've been purged from our old sins. Sometimes we forget that Christ died for our sins and has forgiven us our sins. And we do well to look back once in a while and meditate upon the pit from which we have been lifted. But when they went back to the place where they met God, and where God met with them, and where God sent them forth with His blessing, it was a place of weeping. Our Lord said, "Blessed are they that weep, for they shall be comforted." Well, Jehovah, the Lord Himself, came from Gilgal to the place of weeping. And then He said to the children of Israel, now this is the Lord speaking, "I made you to go up out of Egypt. I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Why didn't you obey my voice? Wherefore I also said, I'll not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you." Only God knows the influence of the false gods upon His people. Now, the reason the Lord commanded the children of Israel to slay the seven nations of the Canaanites and every living creature of the Canaanites was that if they were permitted to live, then they would socialize with the children of Israel. Some people learn, and they learn too late. I've tried to counsel with people when the occasion presented itself concerning the rearing of the children. Don't let your children play with and become fast friends with someone you wouldn't want to be a member of your family. It's been demonstrated literally millions of times. People socialize, they marry. That's been demonstrated in all of the wars that our nation has had and other nations have. No matter where the soldiers go, no matter the standard or status of people with whom they socialize, they intermarried. One of the tragedies of the war, even the war in Vietnam, is the countless numbers of orphans of mixed parentage, American and Vietnamese. And I was amazed when I heard different ones making a plea for the orphans. I was amazed as I heard them say that they were outcast in their own country as well as in this country. But the Lord told the children of Israel to slay, to kill, destroy every living Canaanite. And there were seven nations of the Canaanites. Because if you don't, you'll socialize with them and your children and others will go to worshiping their gods. Go to worshiping their gods. Now I'm going to jump to the 11th verse just here. And in that connection, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you how this thing worked in the lives of the children of Israel. And as we look at this, we remember that these things happened to Israel as types for us. Now right now we're going to consider Romans chapter 1 verses 19 to 32. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. A very interesting verse. And it'll repay in-depth study. That which may be known of God is manifest to the people. That's around the world. There's no such thing as anybody in the world doesn't have a chance. There's a light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. For God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's not a person in hell. There'll never be a person in hell that has any excuse for being there. They're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Instead of worshiping God, they made images of all different living creatures around them, human beings and animals, and birds and fish and even the reptiles. Now, when they did that, look what God did. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The worship of pagan gods resulted in the most degenerate human being the world has ever known. Now we'll come to the study of Gideon in due season as we study the Judges. And the first commandment God gave him was to go out and cut down the groves where they indulged in this pagan worship. And all of these rock festivals held out in the pastures and groves are just a poor imitation of what was taking place in the groves in the time of Gideon in the day spoken of here. Look here. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. People like the Hindus and others, worshipping animals, worshipping insects, creeping things, they will not destroy a living creature, fearful that it might be one of their ancestors or near relatives come back reincarnated in that form. They don't know what it is. The sacred cows and other animals that they have, they're serving and worshiping the creature and not the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against the nature. Women marrying women. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Well, 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And there are churchmen today, and there are so-called Christians today, who contend that men like unto these are not sinners, and there's nothing wrong with them, and they should be received into the church. They should be ordained to the ministry. They should have and hold positions of responsibility in the church. And the Word of God says they're sinners. And in the Old Testament days, they took them out and stoned them to death. Talk about how far man has drifted and how deep he has sunk. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, those things which are not scriptural, those things which are not lawful, those things which are disapproved by God. Being filled. Now, you're not going to understand these words that follow unless you get a dictionary and study these words, and you'll find it worth your while if you want to understand the Word of God. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They not only indulge in all of these sinful things, but they applaud and rejoice in everybody that does these things. All of that comes about by socializing with these pagans and then beginning to worship their gods. Now, back to Judges chapter 2. Verse 3. Now, not only did I tell you that I wouldn't break my covenant, not only did I tell you I'd bring you out and protect you and keep you and provide for you, but I also told you, I'll not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They wept. The hand of the Lord resting heavily upon them. They called the name of that place Bochim, the weepers. Now they're shedding bitter tears. Now they're crying unto the Lord. And so they called the name of that place the place of weeping, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. When Joshua let the people go, the children of Israel sent every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the side of the hill of Gaash. Also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord had done for Israel. And that's the way things go. One generation serves the Lord, honors the Lord, glorifies the Lord. Their children begin to drift away. Their children haven't had the same experiences the parents had. The children didn't suffer the things the parents did. The children didn't spend the hours on their knees. The children didn't spend hours and days soul-searching, meditating in the Word of God, seeking the will of God. The children were recipients of the blessings of the Lord upon their parents, their family, but they didn't know the price the parents paid. And there arises a generation which doesn't know the Lord. There arises a generation which doesn't know the Lord. And they'd forgotten everything the Lord had done for them. Then, this new generation did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them to the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. The chastening hand of the Lord resting upon them. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. And the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Now what does the Lord do when the people are greatly distressed, when they become concerned about their condition, when they begin to long for better condition to exist, when they begin to long for peace, some joy, some happiness? What do they do? I'll show you what to do. Turn to Deuteronomy just a minute, chapter 30. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. After the Lord had told in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 what he would do to Israel if they were faithful, what he would do to them if they were unfaithful. It shall come to pass when all these things shall come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. You'll have blessing upon you, you'll have a curse upon you, which I've set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice. When all of these curses have come upon you, when all of these things are come your way, and you remember what I said about the blessings and the curse, and you remember that I'm responsible, then you turn to me. When you turn unto me and begin to obey my voice according to all I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. He'll release you from the prisons and from the slave camps in which you have been incarcerated. He'll have compassion on your return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Turn unto the Lord, he'll turn unto you. Now back to Judges in chapter 2 and verse 16. When they began to cry unto the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. They delivered them out of the hands by proclaiming the word of God to them. The people heard the word of God. The people turned to the Lord in repentance, confession of their sins, and then they were delivered. Yet, they would not hearken unto the judges, but went a-whoring after other gods, bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. Even with all of that upon them, they still didn't turn to the Lord. When the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. The Lord was grieved with their pain and their suffering and their sorrow. And the Lord had pity, the Lord had mercy upon them. Well, judges didn't live always. Verse 19, came to pass when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. They even went farther than their fathers. You ever hear anybody say that this generation is no worse than the past generation? Not so the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that each successive generation is worse than the other one. They just get worse and worse and worse and worse. Of course, there are exceptions. Every once in a while somebody said, "Brother Wilson, is the world getting better or worse?" I said, "It sure is." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, for many Christians, anxious to please the Lord, things are getting better. For those who have no desire to please the Lord, things are getting worse." And that's the way it goes. Well, the judge was dead. They returned, corrupted themselves more than their fathers did in following other gods to serve them, to bow unto them. They just get worse and worse and worse and worse. Of course, there are exceptions. Every once in a while somebody said, "Brother Wilson, is the world getting better or worse?" I said, "It sure is." I said, well, what do you mean? Well, for many Christians, anxious to please the Lord, things are getting better. For those who have no desire to please the Lord, things are getting worse. And that's the way it goes. Well, the judge was dead. They returned, corrupted themselves more than their fathers did in following other gods to serve them, to bow down to them. They ceased not from their own doings, but from their stubborn way. They go out to do the things they want to do in the way they want to do it. And it's not the way the Lord wants it done. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. I'm not going to drive out any of these nations that Joshua left alive. They can stay here. They can be a thorn in your sides from now on. Bring you all the grief and sorrow they want to, that through them I may prove Israel whether they'll keep the way of the Lord, the work, walk therein, as their fathers did, keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hands of Joshua. Now, down through the fourth verse of this third chapter, we have that which attaches itself to the second chapter. Better division would be to have the chapter division at the end of verse 4. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left among the children of Israel to discomfit them, to be a thorn in their side. These are the nations to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as they knew before nothing before. Namely, five lords of the Philistines. These five become traditional enemies of the children of Israel, and they suffer from them all of the days of their life, and they're still suffering today from these. These nations that Joshua and the children of Israel left alive are still bothering the children of Israel. Five lords of the Philistines. All the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, dwell in Mount Lebanon. One of the major news stories today is Lebanon and the Lebanese today, and the trouble they're causing Israel. From Baal Hermon, Mount Baal Hermon, unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Now, just a few things by way of review that I think we can take home with us very profitably. When the children of Israel returned to Gilgal, it was because of their realization, their consciousness of their failures and their shortcomings before the Lord. And there was a repentance on their part. Repentance is a great word, and repentance occurs over and over and over in the Word of God. Just five times in the whole of the Bible is the word repentance used in connection with lost people. All of the other times it has to do with the people of God. People who trusted God, believed God, and went out from God. They turned around, changed their mind, and came back to God. That's what repentance is. Now, when they repented of their sins and turned to the Lord, they were judging themselves. They were judging themselves. Self-judgment is repentance. The prodigal son judged himself. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He's judging himself. There's a change of mind and there's repentance. And when the children of Israel repented and judged themselves, then They were found at Bochim, or the place of weeping. I still believe, as I've maintained through the years, one of the happiest positions as far as God Almighty is concerned of a Christian is to see that Christian prostrate before Him, judging himself or confessing his sins, obtaining forgiveness and cleansing from unrighteousness, the shedding of tears because of his sins perpetrated against the Lord. The Lord has put a premium on weeping for our sins. It's manifested by the fact that He has a bottle in heaven in which He keeps the tears of His saints, ever before Him as a memorial of self-judgment. Precious indeed are the words of the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Self-judgment, which is repentance. But if we judge not ourselves, then God of necessity must judge us, because every sin must be dealt with. If we will not deal with it, then in that day God brings it to the light and God deals with it, because if He didn't deal with sins in the lives of His children, then we'd be condemned with the world and would be lost. But He's made provision. And if we will judge our sins ourselves, we'll not be judged. Now, when the children of Israel judged their sins, repented of their sins, went to Gilgal, then they found themselves at Bochim, or the place of weeping, and there was joy in the heart of God over one sinner that repented. Not a more precious hour ever comes to a Christian than those moments in the secret chamber of prayer, where the Christian himself pours out his or her heart to the Lord in self-judgment, in repentance, confession of sins, and turns from his wicked ways to walk with the Lord. Father, bless this meditation, this study, to our good. And may that secret chamber of prayer see us more often in days to come than in days gone by. Bless each one who's here. Bless the ones who desired to be here and could not, but were providentially hindered. As we go our separate and several ways, see us safely to our homes, we ask in Christ's name. Okay, amen.